It's become quite the election year topic, and trade is a major piece of the Florida economic landscape. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Kirsten Cooper. Let's say hello to our guests. Eileen Rodriguez is the Regional Director for the Florida Small Business Development Center at USF. Welcome.
Good morning, Carson.
Paul Anderson is CEO of Port Tampa Bay. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Carson.
And Michael Schiffauer is the VP of International Trade and Development with Enterprise Florida, and he joins us from Orlando. Hello, Michael.
Morning.
Well, many blue-collar voters are saying free trade is killing us. They point to plant closings and layoffs, companies moving out of the country where labor is much cheaper. A more narrow gap of Americans support free trade. They say trade deals are critical in a global economy and in the long term are great for America. Eileen Rodriguez, politicians are certainly tapping into some anger here, aren't they?
Yes, they are. It's interesting that international trade is very important, especially for small businesses. As we all know, the small business community, they're the engine of the economy. And the majority of exporters of U.S. goods happen to be small businesses. So it's a pretty vibrant section of the economy for businesses in general and small businesses in particular.
Paul Anderson, do you sense the anger among voters, or what are you hearing, and what do you feel about it?
Well, I'm not here to be a presidential candidate. My job is to create jobs and be an economic developer for the West Central Florida and Central Florida region. And in that respect, we have over 80,000 jobs related to our port, and international trade, which we support, brings jobs to this region. Bottom line, that's what we do.
Well, trade is good for the ports, of course, but have we gone too far with free trade when it comes to the overall U.S. economy and especially employment?
I think that we as a nation and our citizens are part of a global economy. And for those that are sometimes misunderstanding what the reality of our world that we live in today, mm-hmm. We at the port, we have teams that go all over the world to induce and attract jobs and companies to come and do business here at the port. And we really see the benefits of free trade agreements. We've supported CAFTA, free trade with Panama, Korea, Colombia, and we've seen the benefits of new trade and new jobs because of those agreements.
Michael Schiffauer, this is certainly making strange political bedfellows. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders both say NAFTA is a disaster, leading to flat or falling wages and job losses. What's your read on all this?
Overall, in 2014, the United States sold roughly $55 billion more in manufactured goods to our FTA partners than we actually bought from them. And that's important because, you know, the United States right now has a trade deficit of roughly about $579 billion from countries where no FTAs existed. So I think that in order for us as a country to be competitive, we have got to continue to push for more free trade, to give our companies more access to markets than they currently have now. Because quite frankly, when you look at the overall ranking of the U.S., we're ranked, I believe it is, 13th in exporting, just above that of Brazil and that of Russia. So that's our export intensity. When you look at our import intensity, we're roughly about, I think, number three. And so that puts us at a 45% export intensity and a 75% import intensity with a trade deficit of roughly over $500 billion. I mean, it's just not manageable long term. I mean, we are actually buying more than we're selling. We've got to try to increase our overall export capability. If we could see just a 5% increase in export intensity, not to say that we would be number one in the world, but let's say we're shooting to be average, maybe number 12 in the world. I mean, that could potentially eliminate our trade deficit. And without a trade deficit, it would give our government more money to reinvest into new technologies, into training, into infrastructure, all those kinds of things that education, all those kind of critical areas that we need as a country to move forward and be competitive in the future.
Eileen Rodriguez, I should point out that recent polls, Pew did a poll that shows that indeed more recently there has been a lot of populist opposition to these trade deals, mainly I'd say ginned up by the political campaigning. But overall, since the 90s, most Americans seem to be okay with it. I mean, they like the lower prices of the imports, so it's not overall. It hasn't been this way forever.
Right. I think most people understand that trade is a great thing for our country. You know, Mike was talking about it earlier as far as us being more competitive economically in the world. It's really important for us to kind of be in the game. And it's interesting that, you know, different administrations in Washington have come to that conclusion as well. So I think we're starting to see a really good development, if you will, within the trade world. Mm-hmm. And U.S. has become a lot more competitive, I think, over the last few years, just because of those same FTAs that that we've come up with. And we have quite a number of them. In the last, I don't know, 5 or 7 years, we've really signed quite a number of them, and making us just that much more competitive, I think. So I think the average person, they see the benefits of it. Now, yes, there are some people that will detract. Everything's a give and take. It's not always going to be 100% wonderful for, you know, one side. So the U.S. does get a lot out of it, but so do the other countries that enter into these agreements, because it's important for them as well.
Yeah, Paul Anderson, let me talk about that, though, because I think more than a few people these days are angry about that. The politicians are talking about plant closings in Wisconsin recently. A medical furniture manufacturer closed. Actually, it was a couple of years ago. But after it outsourced more and more jobs to China, finally cutting loose 175 workers. Now, Wisconsin has lost more than 68,000 manufacturing jobs since the mid-90s. I'm going to put the Florida lens on this in a moment. But after several trade pacts with Mexico and China took hold, aren't these trade pacts hurting American workers?
First, let me say, I think that during a presidential election, candidates say a lot of things that try and get a part of their base fired up. Trade agreements are, every 4 years, they come up in elections because it makes people get out to the polls for the candidate that they support. But Eileen was saying, administrations from both sides of the aisle have been pretty much unanimous in supporting free trade. When you're president, you have a job to do for the best interests of the entire country, not just one state or another. And I don't really think that when you just look at one state, you're looking at the overall impact of a trade agreement. The trade agreement has an impact on the entire country. And it also, we can look at Colombia. We can look at Korea. When we did not have those free trade agreements, the facts were we were losing an incredible amount of opportunities to do small businesses, to do trade with those because of the barriers to entry into the United States. When we opened those up, we saw that turnaround. So, you know, there are two sides to every issue, and we believe that free trade accommodates our nation's position in the world as the largest consuming nation in the world, allows us to do free trade, good prices, good products, our job is to facilitate that free trade flow.
We spoke to Bob Spencer from West Coast Tomato Company in Palmetto recently in Manatee County. He is among those who feel the American dream is just about out of reach now for many people, thanks to a stagnant economy, and trade deals are doing nothing to help them get ahead.
I think across the country, a lot of people have been left behind because of free trade. And a lot of professors can tell you, oh, this is good in the long run. But when you see the impact on human lives, it makes you pause to think, well, maybe there's a better way.
So he says free trade is leaving workers in the country behind. Michael Schiffauer, what about that?
countries that we do business with currently right now, and that really are fairly protectionist and have really not opened up their country to trade agreements. Brazil's a good example. They have gone a different direction. They've really more or less turned inward. They have increased their import taxes, their duties. They've over-regulated many industries. And as a direct result, I mean, it's not very easy to do business in Brazil. And as a direct result, I mean, those living in that country are paying much, much more higher costs for goods that we take for granted. I mean, typically an EKG medical equipment that might sell for $10,000, by the time it's shipped to that of Brazil and it clears those customs and those import duties, it's now 100% more expensive. So when you get that kind of pricey of a good in a market where the average wage is roughly, on an annual basis, $16,000-$18,000 a year, it makes medical equipment, quality medical equipment, almost cost prohibitive. I mean, it really can be a very corrosive trend when you start to reverse and you start to, more or less pull in and become more isolationist as a country from a trade standpoint. We've seen with free trade, we've seen commerce and we've seen trade grow at exponential levels that has actually really benefited the country and has not been as detrimental as we're hearing politically in most of these sound bites that we're getting. I mean, yes, there are some issues. There's some dislocation with some industries. There's a tremendous amount of worker training and support that needs to be given to any of those employees that do potentially lose their jobs so they can be reemployed. I mean, that there's definitely a need for that. But the overall gain in free trade, the net gain is significantly better than if we went the reverse and went to more of a protectionist country mode.
Eileen Rodriguez?
I absolutely agree with that. I agree that there are going to be some losses, but again, the overall is going to be a gain. I totally agree with Mike. We see that. We've seen that with some of our other trade agreements. For example, with NAFTA, a lot of people have said that was utter chaos. And yet the numbers do support that after 10, 15 years, it has worked in our favor.
So you don't make the connection between the loss of manufacturing jobs since the early 90s to NAFTA? You don't think it's NAFTA's fault at all?
No, I don't. I really think that what's going to happen is that, again, long-term, because this is not a short game, we have to really kind of look at the economy from a long-term point of view and see that what's going to happen is that it's just going to strengthen us. Now, yes, in the short term, we are going to have a few losses. But if in the end game, it's going to make us much stronger economically, then why wouldn't we want to do that?
So we're not at the end game yet, you're saying. It's not happened yet. It's not paid off yet, but it will.
It's going to. And it's already starting to. NAFTA has already started to pay off. And some of these other free trade agreements, they are in the process. As you can see, even with NAFTA, I mean, it took them 10 years to get to the final point where it really was completed. And then after that is when you start seeing some of these successes.
We are talking free trade and Florida. My guests are Paul Anderson, the CEO of Port Tampa Bay, Eileen Rodriguez, the regional director for the Florida Small Business Development Center at USF, and Michael Schiffauer, VP of International Trade and Development with Enterprise Florida. Coming up,
those relationships take time to establish. It's not just picking up the phone and saying, hey, I've got some honey. Let's go ahead and just sell it to you.
I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. We're back with our panel, Eileen Rodriguez with Florida Small Business Development Center at USF, Paul Anderson, CEO Port Tampa Bay, and Michael Schiffauer with Enterprise Florida. We're talking free trade, not so free trade, jobs in Florida. NPR is taking a look at trade all this week. It's become quite the election year topic. Paul Anderson, what are some of the familiar products that we as Floridians know all too well that are exported through the Port of Tampa?
Well,
familiar products.
Familiar products. Yeah. I mentioned that we bring in steel. We also export lumber from the port. We also export, unfortunately, we're not manufacturing steel. That's being manufactured. But we are exporting one of the byproducts of steel, and that's scrap steel. That is a significant provider. So, you know, think of when you order from whatever store it is, and they come and install a new washer and dryer, they take away yours, that takeaway service that you pay for, that's going out through Tampa, being shredded right here. It's a significant, you know, not the most glamorous, but it comes back as finished steel. We also export something every Floridian will know is pelletized oranges. The byproduct from when you juice oranges is the
orange pellets.
Orange pellets that are going out to Latin America, and those are being used as feed for cattle in countries in South America.
We've heard from the detractors, the folks who do not care much for free trade, but tell us about the winners. Who are the trade winners in Florida?
Well, that's a very good question. let's remember that free trade, first of all, is the lifeblood of our economy. And it really benefits every single person, not just in our nation, but in Florida. Looking at Florida, we're 20 million residents today. We had 100 million visitors last year. We surpassed New York as the third largest state. Our largest trading partners is Latin America, Japan. We have seen significant growth in the areas of trade, logistics. We've seen huge investment in our state's port, in our infrastructure, interstate highways, interconnectivity, what we call that last mile of intermodal connectivity, which has really helped facilitate Florida's position, particularly in serving Latin America, but also serving those 20 million residents that we have. Americans are very fortunate when they're able to go right down the street to a Walmart or an IKEA or Rooms to Go, you name it. They have very inexpensive goods at their disposal. Very few countries have the freedom and the ability to go get those goods at the prices Americans can get them.
And America's number one trading partner, I understand, is Canada, right?
That's correct.
Canada, and then followed by several Latin American countries.
Mm-hmm. Carson, can I add one thing? Can I add one thing along those lines? Is that a true story is that what we experienced here after the Great Recession is a tremendous amount of company closures and job loss. And during that time, it was interesting that the two really different kinds of phone calls we received from companies. One was from the company who was not exporting, was not taking advantage of any of these free trade agreements, not really doing business anywhere outside of the country. And they would say, well, you know, the their sales have dropped off like a spigot. It's just like a spigot's been turned off. And you would say, well, how many employees do you have? Well, we have 189 employees. And you'd instantly start thinking, what's your reserves? I mean, and they would say either 3 months or 6 months or a year, and you're going, okay, now they want to export. And then you're thinking that typically, on average, from the time a company decides to export to the time they actually get their first transaction is roughly 18 months. So instantly you're thinking, some of these companies are just not going to make it. Many of them didn't. The other phone call that we would get would be from a company that is exporting, is taking advantage of these free trade agreements, and they would have a totally different tune. They would say, yes, the sales, domestic sales, have completely stopped or is down to a trickle, but thanks to their international business that they're doing, they're actually increasing sales, and they're adding jobs, or they're planning to expand. So it was really a tale of two different stories, one that was totally at risk from a downturn in the economy, which was a domestic issue, and had taken. And then the other was a company who was, you know, taking advantage of was going through that same downturn, but because they were internationally diverse in their sales structure, they actually were able to sail through it. They survived. They were able to even in some cases add jobs. So it really is a tale of two different stories here. And I think the country has to be very careful with this, because ultimately to make decisions that would negatively impact those companies that are doing international business, if and when we ever do have another recession, and you know, we all know these are cyclical, I mean, it could be far worse than this last one we had. So this is something that it goes beyond politics. This is something that the country has to look at and be very intelligent about how we move forward with these decisions, because it has a human factor effect.
Paul Anderson, what was the impact of the recession on Port Tampa Bay?
Well, Mike's example is very good. We were a very diverse port as far as our cargoes. We had 8 lines of business, major lines of business. So we were actually flat during the recession when other ports that were not diversified, Savannah, L.A. Long Beach, which are mostly container ports, they were down 40% during the recession. Then we started to grow as the recession, we emerged from that. So we were, because of diversity, and it goes right along the lines of what Mike was just saying. If a company is diverse, they're not just serving the local U.S. market, but they're exporting or they're providing their service. They're a service provider in foreign countries. When we have a down cycle, they're able to then use export. So they've diversified just like we have at the port.
So just curious, when those big ships come in under the skyway and land at the port, what's most likely on them? What are our biggest imports?
Well, when our biggest imports, believe it or not, right here are a lot of steel that is imported for the construction industry. We've seen an incredible increase in steel. We're also seeing quite a bit of Asian cargo, which would be furniture to various local furniture, big box retailers. We're starting to see some of the e-commerce benefits as well when Amazon has located a huge square foot e-commerce distribution center. And, you know, the other one that most people don't think of, it's not technically an import, but it's petroleum that is coming from Louisiana and mostly Texas that serves about 45% of Florida's consumption.
Eileen Rodriguez, the U.S. currently has free trade agreements in force with 20 countries, which accounted for 40% of Florida's exports last year. What Florida companies profit most from overseas markets?
Our companies do a lot of business in Latin America. If you look at the majority of our, well, actually, I think Paul mentioned this earlier, it might have been Mike, the countries that we do business with in Florida tend to be in Latin America, and that's exactly who our small business owners are selling their products and services to.
Well, who are the we? Who are the actual companies that are benefiting? Can you name a few major ones or mid-sized?
I can tell you, I actually have a couple of companies that we've done business with here in the Tampa Bay area. One of them is the Santa Monica, Florida company, and they sell honey, and they're in Pasco County. They have started looking at selling some of their honey for medicinal purposes. And we did, actually, Mike Schiffhauer over at Enterprise Florida is part of this group that we have together where we provide small business owners with export marketing plans. And these export marketing plans are written specifically for these companies. And it addresses which countries are really the most beneficial for them to look to when they're looking to export their company, their products and services.
Mm-hmm.
So with this company, we did an export marketing plan for them and identified South Korea and Canada as two of the countries that they can do business with. And so, they're in the process of establishing those relationships. Those relationships take time to establish. It's not just picking up the phone and saying, hey, I've got some honey. Let's go ahead and just sell it to you. So, again, it is a little bit of when you're looking at selling internationally, it does take a little bit longer than setting up those domestic lines. But we have a number of companies that we've helped in the same fashion through our export marketing plans to help them identify those countries.
Michael Schiffhauer, quickly, so who are the takers of these business plans, some of the companies that are taking advantage of it?
A good example would be Hernon Manufacturing. They're a manufacturer out of Seminole County up in Lake Mary, and they make adhesives. They make it commercially produced adhesives that can be applied to the aircraft industry or marine industry or other industry where they need welds that can be something, more or less an alternative to a weld using an adhesive. So they would use something like that in the space program with the shuttles when they were running, but you know, additional spacecraft that's, you know, being developed for the future. There is other companies like Genicon, I believe. Genicon is a manufacturer of endoscopy replacement parts. And interestingly enough about Genicon, which is out of Winter Park, is they were a company that went offshore and started to manufacture part of their endoscopic parts in China and have now reversed that. They've actually brought the manufacturing back to Florida. So it's, and we've seen that trend continue now over the last 5 to 7 years. A lot of these companies that went overseas or went to China are actually starting to move some of their manufacturing, if not all their manufacturing, back to the U.S.
One final question for you, Paul Anderson. Is the fixed height of the Skyway Bridge trouble you sometime down the road when those ships finally get too big to go under it?
Well, no. If I could have a tunnel in a perfect world, yes, I would love to have a tunnel. I think that Tampa Bay has 5,000 acres of developable industrial space for our port. It's more than any other port by a long shot in the state. But in the near term, in the midterm, I see that cargo ships are going to continue to have no trouble coming through that bridge. Cargo represents, of the $18 billion of economic impact, represents $17.6 billion is from cargo. Only about $400 million is from cruise. And we're going to see a restriction already of some of the larger cruise ships. And frankly, the largest cruise ships that we're hearing about, the largest cargo ships that are being developed were never intended to come in the Gulf of Mexico. And for that case, many of the East Coast, it's mostly Asia to the West Coast of the U.S. and Asia to Europe. So we're going to do just fine here in Port Tampa Bay. As the world grows, there's plenty of cargo to go around, and we're going to capture our fair share of it to come through this port.
Well, that is good to hear. Yeah. A very interesting discussion. Paul Anderson, CEO of Port Tampa Bay, Michael Schiffhauer with Enterprise Florida, and Eileen Rodriguez of the Florida Small Business Development Center at USF. It was so great to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Carson.
And we'd love to hear what you have to say about all this. Join the discussion on our Facebook page. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts with contributions from Roberto Roldan and engineer by Brian Bierel. Our show is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.